Gimel of Maseches Shkam. So we got to the very top line. We got a little taste of Yishalmi. As I said, it is certainly a bit interesting and different than the Bavli. So take it the top line. The Gemara says, according from the Mishnah, Mesaknin es hadrochem es rechovos ves hamikvos hamayim ve'osin kol tarcha rabim. So what would happen would be, in Adar, they start fixing the roads and the streets and the mikvahs and all the various needs of tzarchei rabim. So what exactly is tzarchei rabim? So the Gemara explains, Eilu hein tzarchei rabim, done in dine mamnis, they check to see if there are any outstanding dine mamnis in a court case they have to deal with, dine nefashos, dine makos, upo din arachan v'charabim v'hakdeshos, they see if there are any outstanding assessments of redeeming various hakdeshos, u'mashkes asota, maybe there's an outstanding story, you know, bais of asota, the Sorfin is a par, they burn the paraduma, the orphan egla rufa, the rotin eved ivri, they would pierce the ear of an eved ivri, mitarin is a mitara, umifarkin is a minal, me'al gavemaim, which meant they used to lock the various cisterns of water so the rain just fill up over the rain season, then they'd open it up for the spring, for the summer, and then ein machsino, so they would not lock them until the end of the summer. So these are the various things they would check, inspect in terms of tzarchei rabim. So the Gemara says further now, Taman Taninan, there we have a mission, the mission of Maseches Moikatan that says, Mashkin Beis Hashlachin. They would then begin to have the water pass through the irrigation field. Umitzainin Al Hakvaros, the mission says, that they would make different signs on the cemeteries to make sure that people don't become Tamimes. So over the winter, over the rainy season, things get ruined. So they have to inspect to make sure that there's the proper symbols. People know where's Tame, where's Tahar. So lo kvar tainu me'adar. So the Gemara asks a question. This is referring to the Mishnah Moikatan. Moikatan is about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So they said on Chol HaMoed, they go around and inspect the various cemeteries. So the Gemara here asks, well, didn't they already do this in Adar? Right, this is talking about the Mishnah Moikatan, talking about Chol HaMoed Pesach. Now we learn the Mishnah Shkalim, they would do this in Adar. So already a month later, they have to start inspecting the kvaros. How likely is it to be that there's going to be a problem of that which they were Mitzayin of the kvaros? They put the little, white paint on the cemeteries, and a month later, Chol HaMoed Pesach have to do this yet a second time? So Gemara says, again, look, kfar tzinu me'adar, did they not already do this? Make the tzinu me'adar? So answers the Gemara, v'tiftar, let's answer, this is the Lashon of Yushami, had the answer, v'tiftar, that answer, she'yared shetef shagshama u'shat tafo. It was a very heavy rain, even after Adar, a month later, there's very heavy pouring of rain, and that ruined perhaps some of the white cement or whatever they put on the plaster on the kvaros. They have to redo this again. So the Gemara then says again, V'yotzin af al-klaim, they'd go out in Adar, rather on Chol HaMoed. This is a continuation of the mission of Maseches Moikatan. They'd also inspect for the klaim during Chol HaMoed. Gemara asks the same question, Lo kfar yotzin mi'adar, didn't they already go out during Adar to inspect for the klaim, like we have in the Mishnah and Shkalim? Why are they going out a second time on Chol HaMoed Pesach? So answers the Gemara, Tiftar, Kishahaisa Shana Afela, Einat Smachum and Nikarm, where it was a very late blooming season where they went during Adar, but nothing really grew. There's nothing really to inspect. So they had to go out a second time in Nisan when things began to grow, when the spring really set in. So now the Gemara wants to know, Minayin L'tzion, how do you know there's a concept of Tzion? Tzion is where you'd make a little marker on the base kvaros, in the cemeteries, in the graves, to ensure people, to warn people that this is a makom tumah. So what's the basis for this? The Gemara is going to bring some psukim. There's a machlokis in two different tososim. One tosos says in Bambabasa, this is simply a din derabanan, it's a smach de ba'alma, but the tosos in Moikatan actually thinks it's a din deraisa, that one has to demarcate the various base kvaros. So the Gemara says, what is the source? How do you know? Minayin L'tzion? Rabbi Brachia, Rabbi Yaakov Barbas Yaakov, B'shem Rabbi Chunya, Dibras Chavarian, that's where he came from, that Rabbi Yosa Amrile, others say Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, B'shem Rabbi Chunya, Dibras Chavarin, Rabbi Chizkia, Rabbi Uziah Bray, Rabbi Chunya, Dibas Chavarin, B'shem Rabbi Chunya, Dibas Chavarin, that's like a whole daf of just names. So the Gemara says, what's the basis that you have to make a tzion? V'tameh, Tamei Yikra. The din is when it comes to a tzarua, the person who's a mitzara, the pasuk says, Tamei Tamei Yikra. You should call out to he who is Tamei. What's the pasuk telling us? Kedei Shetea Tuma Kora Lecha Befia Vomeres Lecha Parish. That the Tum itself somehow should call out to you and warn you, separate. So again, we have to mark when it comes to Mitzorah, the Mitzorah should say, I'm Tamei, stay away. So we learn from there, either Deraisa or Derbanan, that also when there's a Tamei, Tumas Meis, we have to have some type of warning sign, Kideshitea Tuma Korah, that the Tuma screams out to the person, the Befia almost, omer shlecha parsh to separate. And that's the basis of putting a tzion on. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Ila, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, he learned this idea from a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel says, v'ovru ha'ovrim be'eretz, and the people passed through the land, v'ra etzem adam uvana etzla tzion, they saw the bone of a human being, and they built on top of it, they built next to it, a tzion, a little marker. So Gemara darshans each of these words in Yecheskel. Now before he darshan it, the Tosfos and Nida asks an interesting question. There's a din, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, whether or not Tumas Ohel applies to a goy. We know Tumas Ohel certainly applies to a Yisrael, but there's a machlokas when it applies to a goy. Now this pasuk in Yecheskel is referring to a goy here. So he asks, according to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who holds there is no Tumas Ohel by a goy, so why is there a need to make a tzion, to make a kever of some sort, over an etzem adam of a goy? That's the question Tosfos Nida asks. And he answers twofold. He says, number one is, maybe the din is the reason why they built a tzion was not to tell a person of warning them of tumas mace, rather it's to tell a person, here's a mace, let's clean it up, let's get rid of it. It was nothing to do with tumah at all. It's actually just saying, there's a mace here, let's make a little marker here, a marker there, and when we have a chance, let's clean up, let's get rid of all the bones of the various dead people. That's one answer, he says. The second suggestion Tosfos makes is, maybe this guy was really a Jew. Maybe it's a Jew who assimilated, and we didn't know any better, and therefore, just as a precaution, they made a tzion, even though it seemed like it was an etzem of an adam of a goy, it might have been really that of a Yisrael. So what's the drush here? So again, the pasuk says in Yecheskel, v'ovru ha'ovrim be'eretz v'ra etzem adam uvane etzlo, etzem, the bone, mikan, shemetzainin ala tzamas. From here we learn, you have to make a tzion on the bones. Adam, when it says a person, the entire Adam sounds like the entire body, it doesn't mean the entire body. Mikan shemitzayanin al hashidra v'al gulgolus. The shidra is the spine, the gulgolus is the skull. That even though you don't have the normal shear, there's a Gemara's talk about how many bones, how much of the bone is there to be metami tumas mace. So even though you need a significant amount, a certain size, but if it's just the spine or if it's just the skull, even though it might not have the right shear, but those are significant parts of the skeleton, that would also require and demand a tzion. Ubana, you have to build it on top. What do you learn from the word bana? The din is mikan shemitzainin al gabi even kavua, that you can only make the tzion, the little marker that this is tumah, like a little white paint, only on the rock, a boulder that's kind of stationed, it's stuck in ground, in the ground. But if you put it on something that is tlusha, as the Gemara says, im omerat al gavi evan tlusha, if you have to make the marker on a bone that's easily movable, so the problem with that is, af hi holechas umetami makum acher, that little rock might roll over and go somewhere else, and you might think that place is tame, this place is tower. So as an eitz tova, the tzion must be on something that's very stationed, it's stuck in the ground, that's what it means ubana, you build it where it's kavua. And etzlo, when it says next to it, but it doesn't say on top of the bone, why etzlo? Lamakom tara. So the Gemara says, tzion mikan, and mikan tzion mikan letzion. In other words, the din, that's the next point. One more time. Etzlo, which means lamakom tara. We don't put the tzion dafka directly on top of the mace. Why not? Because a person's walking and he says, wait a second, I just came in touch with this tzion, I see a little white paint, he's going to be standing on top of the tumah, it's too late. You want it to be a little bit before you get to the mace, when he stumbles upon the rock and he says, oh, this is the marker of something tumah, oh, it must be a few inches in front of that. So it's etzlo as a warning, almost as a buffer, because if it's on top of the mace itself, it might be too late by the time the person realizes that he's standing next to the tzion. And then finally, the Gemara says, tzion mikan letzion. From here we see that you're supposed to make a tzion. You have to build something next to it. What do you make? A tzion, some type of warning sign, some type of white paint, they said, to warn a person that there's tumah ahead. So Gemara then says, let's say a person finds matzah, evan achas mitzuyenis. If a person finds one rock that has a little white paint on it. So the Gemara says, Ava pish ein mekaimen ken, even though we don't do that. The way you're supposed to mark off a bone, a dead body, is you're supposed to put, let's say this is the dead body, my phone's a dead body. That's a good comparison. So let's say you have a tzion there, and a tzion there, you're supposed to have it surrounded by white markers, but not on top of it. So there should be really two on each side, bracketing, bookmarking the dead body. But let's say you only find one. So in that case, even though that was inappropriate, it was not the right way to do it, we assume the guy made a mistake. He didn't know the halacha. So he put one rock and one paint over the mace, even though that was wrong, says the Gemara, Ava Pisha Ein Mekaimen Kain, even though that's not the right way to do this, we assume he made the wrong decision. Hamal Aleh, one who stands over this, is Tameh, because we assume he put the event directly on top of the mace. Again, even though that was incorrect, but that's what we have to assume, and you'd be Tameh if you're standing on top of the rake, on top of the rock. Ani Omer, Umeis Mitsuyan, Vaya Nasan Tachdeh. It must have been that he put the dead body directly underneath the rock, which was incorrect, but that's Lamaisa, what we have to assume. But if they're Hayushtaim, if there were two rocks with white paint on each of them, which is the correct halacha, we assume one on one side, the other on the other side, which is supposed to indicate that between the two rocks is where the dead body is. So then we assume Hamal Aleim, person who's standing over the rocks, is actually Tahor. Because we assume in this case, when it was done properly, the mace is in between the rocks, not underneath the rock. Ubenem Tame, but in between the two rocks, that's where we assume it's Tame. But if, let's say, you find two different rocks that are separate from each other, two rocks, and there's white paint on each of them, even though normally we assume that which is between is where the mace is, imhaya chorish bein time, let's say you saw that somebody plowed the field right between the two rocks, we assume the person plowing it knew for sure that there's no dead body there, and then we view the rocks as separate rocks, not as rocks working together, and then you have to assume harei hein ki yichidos, we view them each rock independently, and then beinayim is tahor, in between the two of the rocks are actually tahor, ubisivivoseihem tame, but the rocks themselves and surrounding the rocks, that's where the tumah is. Right? So that's the din. Again, normally the way you do it is, you want to put two rocks surrounding the mace goes in between it. But you have some cases, if they plow between, we assume if a guy plowed between them, there's most likely not a mace in between the rocks, but rather there are two separate maces underneath the rocks, which is, again, against the halacha, but people didn't know the halacha, and that's apparently a likely circumstance. So then the Gemara says further, Tane ein mitzainin al habasar. The din is, if you find just flesh, we find just flesh, not a bone, but flesh, we say you are not mitzayin, you do not make a marker on top of flesh, Shema nisakel habasar, because the problem is, eventually, pretty quickly, it's going to decompose, and the flesh is going to become nothing anymore, and there's no tumah. So to have a spot marked as tumah, if in, 3 years from now, there's no longer any tumah, so, but then people will come around, and they'll walk with the taros, or the truma, and they'll stumble upon the rock, they'll assume that they're tumah, because the white marker there, but in reality, the basar is ready nisakel. They said, therefore, don't mark off any places if they're simply basar. So Gemara says, but wait a second, but for the first 3 years, before it's decomposed, there is tumah. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yusta, bar shunem, boy kome, he asked Rabbi Mano the following shiloh. For lo nimsa betame taros, but what's going to happen, l'mafreya? Aren't you going to find, the word l'mafreya here is an interesting usage, but what it means is, won't we find in the beginning, the first couple years, while the basar is still intact, isn't that going to be betame the taros? And the Gemara gives a very interesting answer, amrle, mutav shiskalkulu bo l'sha'a, better for a person to stumble upon the basar for the first few years and cause tumah and him not knowing about it, than to have tumah there forever. Which is interesting, but that's what comes out. So if you find basar, you kind of leave it there. If someone stumbles upon it, if he doesn't notice, even though he might be tumah, it's not your problem anymore. Better to leave it unmarked and protect taros from the future of being considered tumah, when in reality, they're not really considered tumah. So now the Gemara says further, the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, that Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says, Barishona initially, Hayu Okrin Umashlichin Lefneim. Initially, what would happen, the Bezdin would go out, they'd find various overgrown gardens and overgrown vineyards, and they start plucking out the climb because the climb were growing further. What they do is, Hayu Okrin Umashlichin Lefneim, they throw in front of the people in the fields. Gemara is going to explain that they enjoyed that because they were doing the work, right? I didn't have to do any work. They were weeding my garden. The Shluchei Bezdin did my work for me. And also, they threw the food out. They were feeding my animals as well. So they're very happy with this. So people then willingly didn't take care of the properties and let Shluchei Bezdin take care of it. Mishirabu Ovri Aveir, when people started increasing in the Aveir and sitting back and letting the Shluchei Bezdin work on their behalf, so then Hayu Mashlichim LeDrachim, they'd remove the overgrown vineyards, but they wouldn't throw them to the animals of the farmers. Rather, they throw them to the streets, whereby no one would benefit from them, and they get trampled on and nobody could eat it. And then finally, Hiskinu Shiu Mafkirin Eskosad. Finally, at the end, they were just mafkir the property, and anybody, any climb where they found, any field they found climb, they said it was Hefker Bezin Hefker, and it was open to the public to take, because again, they were increasingly violating Averas. So Gemara explains this Mishnah a little bit further. Amr Yehuda, Yehuda said, Tani. Amr Yehuda, Barishona initially, Hayu Okrin Umashlichin Lefneim initially, the Shluchei Bezin would cut out and remove the climb and throw it in front of the animals. Vayu Smechen Shtei Smachos, and the owners, the farmers, were very happy, two happies, two smachos, if you will. What were the two smachos? Achas Shayu Menakshin Sedoseim. They're having Shluchei Bezin weed their own properties. That's great, excellent, that's one benefit. They benefited from the climb because the animals would eat from it. So Mishirabu over Aveiro, and people then were violating the Aveiro, and they did this Bekavana. They let their climb grow over, so the Shulchei Bezin would work on the behalf. So then Hayu Mashlichen al Drachem, they'd remove the climb, but throw it to the streets where they couldn't benefit. The Alpha PK, nonetheless, they're still Hayu Smechem, Shayu Menachshin Sadosam. They're still very happy because at least they were getting the properties weeded by somebody else. They didn't have to pay a gardener for it. So the Gemara says that finally, Hiskinu Shumafkirin Kosadeh Kulab, they decided to be Mafkir the entire property if they were not taking care of the climb on their own. So B'nai, so now the Gemara goes on a bit of a tangent. B'nai, Shehefker, Bezin Hefker. How do you know that Bezin has the right to be Mafkir property? So the Gemara says it's going to go back and forth for a bit. It says in the pasuk Dichsiv in Ezra, V'chol asher lo yavo l'shloshes hayamim ka'atas, anybody who doesn't come in the next 3 days, ka'atas hasarim hazakenim, like the advice of the sarim that we should return back to Eretz Yisrael. The din is, yecharam karuchusha, we're going to make hefker all of your property, hu yibadel mikal me'agola, and you're going to be separate from the rest of the exiled nation. So we see the ability to be make hefker. So this is the raya brought down from the Yushalmi. This is the basic. The basis of Hefker, Bezin, and Hefker, but in the Bavli, in the Gemara and Gittin, brings another ayah. It brings from a pasuk that says, I'm looking for the pasuk in a second, they quote it here in the back here. The pasuk they bring is, it says in Yoshua, Eila nachalas asher nachalu elazar akon Yoshua benun, that they had the ability to be manchil, to pass over the Hefker to the next generation. So the interesting discussion in the Rishonim, whether Hefker, in the Lamdasha, Lamdas and Hefker, is Hefker simply a siluk, that they remove the ownership, the rights of the owners, or Hefker is actually being makna, you could actually make a transaction. It could pass from one ownership to another ownership. Is it, again, a siluk, or is it a hakna? So based on the Gemara here, the pasuk that the Yushami invokes, Ezra, it says, Yecharam karuchusho, sounds like nobody owns it, but the pasuk in Yeshua, which the Bavli chooses, which is nachla, it's manchil, it sounds like you're passing over. It's actually a transaction. So there's a very big nafkamina, because it's actually very noger to mechiras chametz. The question the Achorim deal with, can a kinyan of a derabanan kinyan have an effect on a deraisa level? If let's say owning chametz is an issa deraisa, so you want to try to get rid of your chametz, but you only apply a kinyan that was imposed by derabanan. The certain kinyanim are deraisa. Kinyan kesef is a din deraisa. But kinyan mashicha, maybe the kinyan deraisa, but certain kinyanim, like a handshake, would only be a kinyan derabanan. The Gemara acknowledges that. Can a kinyan derabanan, like a handshake, have an effect on a deraisa level? So they say the same thing, just like hefker based in hefker. Hefker based in hefker is created from bezdin. If you assume bezdin has the ability to make hefker, which is a hakna, which is a kinyan, so then their handshake also has the ability to have a real kinyan on a deraisa level. But if you say that hefker based in hefker is limited, where it only allows a person to be mesalik the ownership, it's ownerless now, but no one owns it, you don't pass it to another person, it's simply ownerless, that it's very limited in what's able to accomplish, so a handshake might also not be able to accomplish something on a deraisa level. Either way, this is the source of the Yishalmi, how we know Hefker, based in Hefker works, based on this pasuk in Ezra. So now the Gemara wants to know, how do you know, minayin shehi ptura mina maisos? The din is, that which is Hefker, you don't have to separate maiser. If you're mafkir something, you don't have to take maiser for giving it. If I'm mafkir my property, there's no need to separate maiser. Just that whoever takes it, takes it. So how do you know Hefker is potter from maisos? So Rabbi Yonah son Berei, Rav Yitzchak bar Aha, Shamelai, he heard, minhada from the following brisa. It says in the Gemara, Ein ma'abrin es hashana, lo b'shvius, lo b'matzeh shvius. You're not allowed to make an Ibr Shana. You can't add an extra month of Adar during the Shemitah year, nor during the year after, the eighth year, either you can't make one. Vim Ibru, if one does it, harezim muberes b'dievet, it works as well. The Gemara says, v'chodesh echad, shumosev, lo patim imaisesu. The din is, during the Shemitah year, anything that grows during Shemitah is pater from Maaser. So now what happens is, if Bezdin decides to add another month, a 13th month of Shemitah, that's another month that is pater from Maaser. So we see Bezdin has the ability to create certain dinim that are pater from Maaser. So just like they could add another month of Shvius, which would be pater from Maaser, they could also create Hefker based in Hefker, which would also be pater min Shvius. So the Gemara says, Adkan Shvius. We understand Shvius, why they would not want to make an Ibr Shana during Shvius, because it adds another month that they can't work on the property. We understand we don't want to make the farmers have to lose another month of working. But what about Mata Shvius Mai? Why do they say you can't make an Ibr Shana during Mata Shvius? So Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Bon, Shul Rabos B'Issa Chadash. The Issa Chadash, which is right now, this Issa, you can't have the new grains until you bring the carbon omer. Carbon omer allows you to eat the new barley, and by the time you bring the Shteh Lechem Shvuas, you can then eat the Chadash of Chita. Either way, what happens is, now if you add another month, so they're very limited what they could eat during Shemitah because they couldn't grow things. So very little out there growing because the farmers couldn't work the land. So now Shemitah year is over. Now comes the first year of the next cycle. They can start working the land. But now if you're adding another month, they have to push off Pesach one other month. They need to wait another month till the Karban Omer is brought. Issachar, that's just us. So they're very limited in what they can eat from the last year of Shemitah. So it was a very weak year. So have another extended year would be very hard for the farmers. So that's why they said, not only can you not add a 13th month to Shavuos, but even the year after Shavuos, month to Shavuos as well, you cannot add a 13th month. Either way, the focus was of this point was that if Bezin has the right to add a month in Shavuos, which means another month that they're potter from Meiser, so too they have the ability of making Hefker, Bezin Hefker, which would also be potter min Shavuos. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira, B'shem Rabbi Lazar, Hadadat Amar, that which you said, you can't be Ma'aber, Shemitah, or the year afterwards, that was only true when Rebbe paskined, you cannot bring vegetables, you cannot import from outside. They're very limited. Because if the Eretz Yisrael itself, you couldn't work the land, and you couldn't import from Chutz La'aretz, so then people were very limited what they could eat. However, when Rebbe permitted people to bring, to import vegetables from outside, then Shavuos, then you'd be allowed to add another 13th month to Shemitah because it wasn't limited. You could still import plenty from outside, and therefore they could add a 13th month. Now, the reason why there was a point in history where Rebbe said you cannot bring vegetables or any imports from Chutz La'aretz because there's a chashash that maybe the ground, the property, that the land you had, there's tumas ha'amim in Teretz Eretz Amim, that Chutz La'aretz has a certain tumma that's there to bring it into Eretz Yisrael would be a problem. So that existed as a din d'rabbanan, but once he realized that it was really hard to function without importing, he allowed them to import from Chutz La'aretz, and once imports were allowed, then you were able to extend the Shemitah another time because there's plenty of food to go around. So then the Gemara says, for the Tana, ein ma'abrin v'chulu, you can't be ma'aber Shemitah, nor can you be ma'aber the eighth year. So Amar Rebbe Mana, hada'at amar b'rishona, shushanu hatikna. This is only true, the limitations of making Shemitah, or the eighth year, ibrishana, when we were in charge of the land, when we had control, when the years and the calendars and the land were katikna was proper. So then that would be an isser, because we were the farmers and we couldn't work the land. Aval achshav, nowadays, unfortunately, sh'ein hashanim ketiknan, that the calendar isn't set, which really means that we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, or we don't have all rights to Eretz Yisrael. There are plenty of going working the farms. Hishvius, hishar shnei shavua, Shemitah is like any other year, because even though we're extending Shemitah, we're not working the land. The goyim are working the land, and there's plenty of food for them to make within Eretz Yisrael, and we'll buy from them. So therefore, nowadays, that gezeira of not making Shemitah into Ibrashana is no longer relevant, because the goyim are working in Eretz Yisrael with plenty of food to go around. So Tani, the Brisa says that Shabbos Rabban Gamliel, Ibrua, B'matzah, Shvias Miyad. They actually would make an Ibrashana during the eighth year. They had no problem with this. And the reason is, the Mefarshim explained, because since in his time they were importing from outside, therefore they were able to extend the eighth year because it did not affect the limit of the food, because there's plenty of food to import. So then, Amar Rabbi Abban in Minhada, that Brisa, less at Shema Minan Klum. You can't bring a Raya. We're going back to the point. We wanted to say, how do you know that which is Hefker, Bezin Hefker, is Pater from Meiser? We brought the Raya, if the Bezin could add another month of Shemitah, which means another month of Shemitah tells us all the grains are Pater from Meiser, because Shemitah is a type of Hefker, and Shemitah is Pater and Hefker, and Pater Meiser, so too in general, if they're Mafker, someone's property, that's also Pater and Meiser. So the Rabbi Abban says there's no Raya. The case of Ibur, of the Ibur Shana, is very different than a Stam Hefker of someone's property. Why? Because Shomer Sechodesh Aviv, the Pasuk says, Shomereyu Shiyavi Bechidusho. What's the motivation of making an Ibur Shana? The motivation, there are two reasons actually. This is a Raya for one. And there's a brisker Rav, there's a little black sefer of the Grizz on Kiddush Chodesh on Sukkot Rosh Hashanah. So Kiddush Chodesh, he has one Hakira that goes through every single halacha of the Rashi, Rambam, the Rashi in the first parak of Sanhedrin, talks about a few blot of how Ibur Shana works. He raises the machlokas. What is the purpose of the Ibur Shana? Either purpose is to make sure the solar and lunar calendar are not too far off. We know regularly there's 11 days more of the 365 days of the solar calendar and 354 of the lunar calendar. They're off 11 days. So in 2 years it's 22 days, in 3 years it's 33 days. To make sure they're not too off, they have to add another month every so often. But according to the Rambam, which is this Yushalmi, I believe, that the point isn't to make the calendars align with each other. Rather, because since Pesach, which is a few days away, has to be in Chodesh Aviv, it's dafka for the Pesach, not because calendar, not because the overall calendar. But Pesach must be in Aviv, based on this pasuk. That's why we do the Ibur Shana. It says, Shomer Chodesh Aviv, pasuk says, V'asisa Pesach Hashem. Shomereyu Shaviyu B'chidusha. Make sure Karban Pesach is in Aviv. That's the reason. Either way, why did they make an Ibur Shana? The reason why the Chachamim could add a month during Shemitah is because the Pasuk says, you're Mekayim a Mitzvah of making sure Pesach is an Aviv. That's why it's allowed. But to say in general, Bezin make something Hefker, Bezin Hefker, to say that case is Pasuk and Amisus, that's completely different. There's no Mitzvah to deal with. Here, by Ibur Shana of Shemitah, there's a Mitzvah, so there's a reason why they could do this, but not by in general of making Hefker, Bezin Hefker, and therefore he doesn't think there's a Raya from that case of Shemitah, that Hefker, Bezin Hefker, is in fact Pater from a Meiser. So then the Gemara says here in the very bottom of Gimel and Alf, Amar Da, so where do you find the Raya? That which is Hefker, Bezin Hefker, is in fact Pater min a Meisos. So the Mishnah says, Meseches Peah. Gadish Shiloluka Tachtav. Let's say you have a pile, a heap of, I don't know, whatever you have in the wheat, let's say, in the field. And underneath it, there's some leket. Leket's supposed to go to the special din. The leket goes to the aniyim. But let's say the aniyim did not collect the leket. Instead, you decide to make a pile of hay on top of the leket. You're covering up the leket. So Chachamim made a knas. They said, since you tried covering up the leket from the aniyim, kol hanogas baaretz harehen shanim. Everything that touches the ground now, even though it wasn't leket, but now we're penalizing you. Everything that touches the field is all leket because you tried causing the aniyim to lose out. So that's the din. For Amar Rebbe, so what's the, we haven't seen the Raya yet. So Amar Rebbe, Ami, going on to Amar Beis now, B'Shem Rebbe Shimon Lakish, the Beis Shammai, he, that's only Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai holds, there's a Mishnah of Maseches Peah, that what's considered Hefker. Beis Shammai holds, if something's Hefker la'anim, v'lo la'ashirim, that's actually considered Hefker, and Patim and Amayser. Beis Hillel holds, that only if something's Hefker la'anim, u'la'ashirim, would it be Hefker, and Pater from a Meiser. So this din here is, when they said that if you try covering up the leket, you're now penalized, and everything touching the field is all the aniyim, that's only hefker to aniyim, it's not hefker to ashirim. So according to Beis Hillel, that would not be hefker, that would be chayv and Meiser. So when the ani collects it, since it's not really leket, it's really a hefker, they would have to actually take Meiser. But only according to Beis Shammai, who holds, even that which is only hefker, le'aniyim, is still considered hefker, and it's patur min ha-meiser, this would be a raya that according to Beis Shammai, that since they're mafker, the gadish, it's going to be hefker le'aniyim, and patur min ha-meiser, but this is not a raya according to Beis Hillel. So again, Reish Lakish Amar, the Beis Shammai, that's only according to Beis Shammai, that which is hefker to aniyim only is still considered hefker, and patur from Meiser, but the Ika Beis Hillel, Aniyim Ochlen or Meisim. But the Aniyim, if it's only Hefker for the Aniyim, they can eat it, but the Aniyim first have to take Meiser, since it's not truly Hefker until it's Hefker, Le'ashim, U Aniyim. So Gemara responds back and says, Amar Le Rabbi Yosei, no. Shemanu Shehu Patim Mimaisa Divya Kol Mishim Kunasa. I heard that even Beis Hillel would agree in this case that this is actually Patim and Mimaisa. Why is that? So a little unclear. Take a look at the top of the carbon aid, the very, very top of the page here. The Gemara quotes V'Hachi Perusha at the end of the line, right after the bold. It's a long Dibra Maschio. Hachi Perusha Masnisim. Asa Kebeis Shammai Damar Hefker Laniyim Hefker. Ulufikach Patur Mimaisa. That we said. About Kebeis Hillel Ein Lo Din Leket. The Chayav of Mimaisos. Now Rabbi Yosi Amar, this is the answer to the Gemara. Shemanu, we heard. Shafilu Kebeis Hillel Asya Masis. And even Beis Hillel could go according to the Mishnah. The Chayven, the Kansi Rabban, and since Rabban penalized the farmer for trying to cover up the leket. Hifkiru Hashibom Shinogas Bar, Tareu Kehefker Beis and Hefker, Upatim and Amaisos. So there's a different thing. Stam Hefker, if I make something Hefker, that's machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. If I make it Hefker la'anim only, so then Beis Shammai says that's still Hefker, Beis Hillel says it's not Hefker. But if Beis Din comes in and Beis Din makes something Hefker, even though it's limited to anim, even Beis Hillel would agree Hefker, Beis and Hefker does have the ability to pater that which for something from Meiser. It's a special knas when it comes from Beis Din. They have the certain koach. So that's the raya we see, that which is Hefker, Beis and Hefker is in fact pater min ha-meiser. Okay, let's go to the next mission. Wow, it's 7:30. I told you these stop and take a long time. Okay, the Mishnah tells now in Amud Beis here, on the 15th of Adar, Shulchanos Hayu Yoshin B'Medina, the different money changers would sit aside the Medina, and they start collecting the Shkalim. Now, Chaf Hey, by the time the 25th of Adar rolls around, Yashu B'Mikdash, it's in the Mikdash, to tell people as a warning, the time's coming closer. If you want to pay us, you got to come closer to the base of Mikdash, because we're very limited in the time left. Yashu B'Mikdash. Now, when the Shulchanos, when the different money changers would sit in the base of Mikdash, which means we're a few days away from Aleph Nisan, Hischilu L'Mashkan, they would start now taking collateral. They'd start seeing, going down the list, who didn't pay their taxes, who didn't pay their shkalm, and they go to people's properties and take a mashkon, a collateral, until they pay the shkalm, and then they return the mashkon back. So then, mashkonin, from who would they take a mashkon from? Who's chayv in shkalm? Levim, v'Yisraelim, v'gerim, v'avadim v'shucharim, everyone, all Yisraelim, all Levim, even a ger, even an Evan Meshuchar, and Evan Meshuchar in essence is really a ger. So they're all chayiv and shkom, and they go ahead and take a mashkon from the property if they didn't yet pay. Aval lo, nashim, vavadim, uktanim. But women and slaves and minors are not chayiv and shkom, so they can't be mashkon, they can't be mashkon from them. Now, there's an interesting discussion about women's chiv and karban musaf. Unfortunately, there's not enough time for this because women are patur from shkalim, and therefore they're patur from karban musaf. But there's an interesting Rabbi Akiva Eger about this, how women are not chayiv in musaf based on this very Mishnah, but we'll have to wait on that. Even though katan is pater from paying shkalim, if a father paid on his behalf anyways, the din would be shuv ein opozek. Once he starts paying for his child, you can't stop anymore at that point. Even though the child was 8, he started paying for his child, he has to continue. The child is chayv in shkalim for the rest of his life. Ein mashkin is a kohanim mipnei dar chesham, but you cannot take a mashkin from a kohen because the dar chesham. We'll see why that is. The Gemara says since they're doing all the avoda, we don't want to pick a fight with the Kohanim, even though we should take a mashkin from them. But if at the end of the day, if they didn't pay the shkalim, we're not going to pick a fight because of Dar Chesholom. And then Amr Behuda Behuda says, Heyud ben Bukhri, Beyavna, Kal Kohen Sheshokel, Enochote. Any Kohen who decides to give shkalim willingly, he hasn't sinned. There's no problem. There's no issur b'davar. We don't make a Kohen pay, but he doesn't. He's allowed to pay if he wants to. And Amr lo Rabbi Yochum and Zakai, Lo ki ela Kol Kohen Sheenochokel, Chote. He says the opposite. If a Kohen doesn't give, he's chote. Meaning a kohen has to give it. There's a machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, where the kohanim have to give or they're exempt from giving. So Rabbi Yochanan says they have to give. Rabbi Yehuda says they don't have to give, but they want, they can contribute. So what does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said? He says, Lo, ki ela ko kohen she'eno shoke el chote. If he doesn't give shkalim, he sins. Ela shekohanim darshin mikras el asim. The kohen made their own drasha to try to exempt themselves, but they were wrong. What was their drasha? The chol minchas kohen kol yol tia lo seacha. The din is any mincha. If you and I, and no kohanim here. So if you and I were to give a mincha, the way a mincha works is you give the flower offering. The kohen does a little kmitza. He throws a kmitza on the mizbeach. The rest is called shirah, and the shirah is eaten by the kohen. If a kohen offers a mincha, that's called a minchas kohen. The din is kula kola. The whole thing gets burnt in the mizbeach. There's no shirayim. So the kohanim said, listen, if we're going to contribute now to the karbanos, and you're going to bring the lechem upon him, you're going to bring a sheh lechem, so we, any mincha that comes from us, doesn't get eaten. So the sheh lechem upon him should be eaten. But once we contribute, that means it's a minchas kohen, and minchas kohen gets kalil, so the kalil, therefore we cannot contribute. So that's what the Gemara says again. Again, darshan mikra zel asman, they've darshan their own pasuk. They call minchas kohen kalil tiyeh lo seachel. It gets completely burnt up and you can't eat from it. Since these karbanos, which are actually mincha offerings, the carbon omer, the carbon sheh lechem, and the weekly lechem apanim, if it comes from us, how could it be eaten if we're the ones contributing it? Does it not mean it's a minchas kohen, and you can't eat a minchas kohen? That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara now says, wow, it's really late. The Gemara says, ein mashkin in esakatanim, you cannot collect from a katan. So hal l'tvah tovin. So even though you can't be mashkinin from these individuals, you can still be toveh from them. You can ask them for money, but you can't actually take a mashkon from them. So Gemara says hal d'tamar. That's what it means. Mishehavir shtesaros when they have shtesaros when they're at the age of 13 or so. So that's a din that they have a din of a gadol. So you cannot be mashkon from them, but there's a certain chiv midirbanan at that point. Aval im lo hevi shtesaros if they're under the age of 13 or so. Lobada, so that's where he said, Ulamashkun, they're not chayiv, Ulamashkun, ain't mamashkun, you can't take a mashkun from them either. Afapi, shehevi, shesaro. So what comes out here is, again, this is very unclear what this means. We addressed yesterday machlokes, whether they're chayiv at 13 or chayiv at 20. The Mesiftis pshat here is, they're only chayiv midirais at the age of 20. At the age of 13, the chayiv midirabanim. And underneath that, there's not even a chayiv midirabanim. So at the age of 13, although you can't be, take a mashkon, you can still be toveah them at the age of 13, but at the age of 20, you can already, at that point, take a mashkon from these individuals. So then the Gemara says,
Kena Masisa, that's what the Braisa says. Ain Mashkinin as a Kwanim, Bibne Derech HaKavod. The understanding is, since the Kwanim, you can't be Mashkinin from the Kohen, because since they do the Avoda, they're working so hard on behalf of the Tzibur, so even though really you should be able to take a Mashkin from them, because of Derech HaKavod, the Kavod, the respect we want to show them for doing the Avoda, we don't go into their property and we do not take a Mashkin. So then the Gemara says, and finally we'll finish with this, the discussion of whether or not the Kohen's Chayv in Shkalim, or their Pater, but if they wanted, they could still contribute nonetheless. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Heyed B'Fechule. So Amar Rabbi Brachia Taimed Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. The reason that he says that Kohanim are Chayiv in Shkalim, it says in the pasuk Ze Yitnu, in the pasuk in Shkalim Ben Kisisa Ze Yitnu Kohay Over Al Pekudim Machzeh Shekel B'Shekel Kodesh. The Gemara of Ze is 12 Shvatim Yitnu. Ze is 7 and 5. That's 12. All 12 Shvatim, including Sheva Levi, including Kohanim, are Chayiv. That's his drasha based on the Gematria. So the Gemara then says Rabbi Tavi B'Shem Rav Hamnuna. Cain Meshiv and Chachamim. Chachamim asked Rabbi Yehuda the following shaila. He said to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that Kohanim are pater from giving shkalim. So, but if they wanted, they could contribute nonetheless. So they say, Chathas Yachid Mesa, Ein Chathas Tzibur Mesa. The din is, if a person has an individual carbon chathas, and the carbon chathas, the din is, the chathas, there's five different cases. If a person, let's say, got kapara with one chathas, and there's an extra chathas, that chathas has to die. But let's say the Tzibur says a chatas for the tzibur, and they end up being this kapper with another chatas tzibur, we say a chatas tzibur doesn't die. Only we let a chatas yachid die, but we cannot let a chatas tzibur die. That's a certain halacha Moshe Mesina. So we have a distinction between that which is a chatas yachid and that which is a chatas tzibur. Min chas a yachid, kreva kalio, vein min chas a tzibur, kreva kalio. So the din is, so too, a min chas yachid that's brought by a kohen, that din is, we let the entire thing get burnt up. But a minchas tzibur, like shtei lechem, lechem apanim ha'omer, that's not allowed to be called. That must be eaten. So again, unclear what the question is here. You need the mefarshim to explain the question here. If Rabbi Yehuda, you hold that kohanim don't have to give anything, because if they were to give, so then it becomes minchas kalio, so then how could you accept them willingly? You said there's no chiv. But if they want to, they could give. But once they want to give, and they're going to give money, so now that means it becomes a minchas tzibur, becomes a minchas kohen, and you have to say it gets burnt up. But we have a klal, minchas yachid is kreva kalil, but minchas tzibur is not kreva kalil. So how, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, would you be willing to accept any shkalim, even b'dieved, you should not be able to accept any shkalim from the kohanim, because then it becomes a minchas tzibur, and that has a din of eino kreva kalil. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Before you even ask this question to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to you. V'kasha meshivin l'adam davrshin modibo, you can't ask a question to a person if he doesn't agree to it. What does that mean? The tznan ain chatas tzibur mesa. We have the mission in Yuma that if you have an extra chatas tzibur, we don't let it die. There's no din of mesa by chatas tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Thomas, he actually says yes. He equates halach of a chatas yachid to chatas tzibur. So this whole premise of the question doesn't make any sense, because he doesn't hold this way. He holds let the minchas tzibur mesa. So he's very fine, even though the kohanim will contribute to shkalim. So now this minchas tzibur becomes a minchas kohen. So let it die. He has no problem with letting it die. That's not an issue with him. So the Gemara says, no, this is really the issue. Who mosivla, Rabbi Yehuda responds back and says, Zu lo nidvas yachidi. He says, when a minchas kohen contributes to the shkalim, to the minchas tzibur, gives shkalim, that's not a minchas kohen, that's not a minchas kohen yachid, that's a minchas tzibur. So, and therefore, since it's a minchas tzibur, it's a very different din. Minchas yachid becomes kreva kalil. When the kohen contributes, it's not a minchas kohen anymore, it's still a minchas tzibur. And you don't have to apply the din of kreva kalil by minchas tzibur. So the Gemara says, "Inun meisivinlay." The Chachamim respond back and say, "Kaven shenimsu letzibur kimishu nidvas tzibur dami." So again, this is also very unclear what's going back and forth here. The article is very confusing. The Masita is very confusing here. They hold that once the he holds that according to the Yehuda, the Kohen gives a shekel. He's not giving the shekel from his own. He's giving the shekel. I'm giving it to the tzibur. Now the tzibur ends up paying for it. Even though the kohen is giving directly to the carbon tzibur, it's not viewed as being the kohen's bialis over it. It's a kohen gives to the tzibur, and the communal funds are being used to purchase the carbon tzibur, and therefore it's not viewed as having bialis by the kohen, and therefore even though he might voluntarily give to the shkalim to the carbon, it's not called a minchas kohen. But again, the Chacham respond back, Kevin Shinimshu Latzibur, Kimishu Nidvas Tzibur Dami, and therefore, since they give it, so again, let's backtrack for a second. When Rabbi Yehuda says that Kohen is not chayiv to give, because if they were to be chayiv to give, that would be considered they had a chalik in it. So, therefore, they can't have a chalik. If they want to give, they wanted Mamash Nidvas Leib, it's a willing thing, and they give it over, not Mitzidi, but they give it to the Tzibur. The Chachamim respond back, even though we say that Kohanim are chayiv and shkalim according to Chachamim, that the chayiv, when they do give it over, they give it belev gamur, and they give it to the tzibur as well. So the machlokes is, if a Kohen were to give, if there's a chiyuv to give shkalim, are they giving over it so they have a chelik in it, or are they giving over that tzibur should have a chelik in it? And that's the essence of the machlokes. Behuda says they give it over so they should have bailus over it, and if they have bailus, it becomes minchas kalyom, therefore we cannot obligate Kohanim to give it. The Chachamim say, even though we do obligate Kohanim to give it, even when they give it, they're not giving it that they should have bialus over it. They give it so that Tzibor should have bialus over it. And it's finished with one last priest here. I know it's very late. The Gemara says we'll stop at the Mishnah. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk in the Parshat Kisisa, Kola over al Pekudim, who's chayv in Machsa Shekel? Anybody who passes through. So what does it mean, Kola over al Pekudim? So the Gemara explains this in Machlokas here. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya. Chadamar, one holds a Kol Davar B'Yama. Anyone who passes through the Yamsuv, their chayv yitain, they should give the machzah shekel. And that means kola over those who pass through the Yamsuv. The Harana, the other one said, Kol Davar Al Pikuda yitain, those who are counted by Moshe Rabbeinu, that means kola over Al Pikudim, those are the ones who are chayv in it. So this is the machlokas. It ends up being the Kohanim, they passed through the Yamsuv, but they were not counted by Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you assume kol over means those who passed in the Yamsuv, that includes even Kohanim, so Kohanim would be chayv in shkalim. But if you assume it means those who were counted, Kohanim were not counted, so Kohanim would be potter. So this is another angle of how to understand the machlokas, whether Kohanim are chayv or not. Man da'amar kol over b'yama yitain, misai l'b'yochim ben zakai. Those who says anybody passed through the Yamsuf supports Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who holds Kohanim are chayv in shkalim, but man damar kol davar al pikuda yitain, those who were counted have to give shkalim, then Messiah lebar ben Bruchi, who holds that Kohanim are in fact pater because they were not counted. Let's do a quick recap. If they run, go for it. I'm not going to hold you back. But the mission we start off by saying in the beginning of the Gemara that the din of all the different tzarchei rabbim that the Bez has to look into in terms of din amamnes, din nefashos, and salt, and all those things, that's how we start off the Gemara. Then we had a whole long discussion about making it seer and making a little marker wherever there's tumma. We spoke about the pasuk Yechezkel that you make it in between, you make it near, you have to build in a rock that's kavua. And then we brought the din of a person plowed through the two different rocks. That means there's no mace in between. Rather, the mace was underneath each of the rocks independently. And a person should not make a tzir on top of basar because eventually basar will decompose. And therefore, better for people to become tamei now than to be considered tamei forever. Then the next mishnah told us about the use of, when they're checking for the climb, the Shulchan Bezim remove the weeds and throw them onto the in front of the animals. They were happy, too happy, too smuckles. They end up taking it out and throwing it onto the roads. And then they're still happy. They end up being mafka, the property. We got into a discussion how you know hefker based on hefker works. The Yushami brought a pasuk different than the pasuk in Bavli. Then we discussed that you can't make an Ibrashana during Shemitah year itself or the Matzei Shemitah. And then we discussed about that's only true when the when Klai Yisrael is on top of the, you know, we're in charge of Eretz Yisrael working the land, and also when we don't import from outside, but once you can import from outside, or Goyim are working in Eretz Yisrael, where there's plenty of food, then we would allow to eat Brashana even during the Shemitah year. Then we discussed the source of Hefker based on Hefker's Pater for Nemeiser. We tried bringing it right from the case of the Leket by Ani. We said that case might be different. And then we went on to the next mission about who's chayv, who's pater in Shkalim. We had the different shulchanios, the different money changers. They used to be set up in the different cities. Then they moved to the base of Migdash. And then the mission of Nashim, Avadim, Ketanim were all pater. Machlok is about Kohanim. And that was the last discussion here, that about Kohanim, if it's based on the Pasuk Zay Yitnu, or based on the Chathas Yachid, Chathas Sibur, very confusing in the dialogue. And finally, we made the suggestion, maybe it's based on the Pasuk Kol Over, Pekudim, it's Kol Over, referring to those who passed the Yamsuf. Our call over is referring to those who are counted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, yeah.